Hi, I'm Emily Eisbrook from Internet 2, and we're talking today with Tom Barton from University of Chicago, chair of the Grouper Working Group. Welcome, Tom.
How are you doing, Emily?
Great. I'm really happy to have this chance to talk with you today about Grouper and some of the new features in Grouper version 1.5. First of all, start us out with a kind of a management summary of what Grouper is all about.
Sure, I'd be glad to. Well, first of all, Grouper is a group management toolkit, as the name would imply, which means it's a way for folks to add people and other things to groups of various sorts, to combine those together and to use them to control access to things or for distribution lists or wherever you want to have a list of people or list of subjects, as we say, used. And the reason why we actually have, that's not a particularly special or distinguished activity, but it's so common, it needs to be, we feel it needs to be factored out of the deployment requirements for every single application out there. It'd be great if there can be an enterprise service centering on that activity. That would be great because it lowers costs for the folks that have to deploy new applications that have their own access management needs. It can also make one group useful in more than one location, so there may be more consistency and transparency in the managing the environment that way. Also, with an environment a service like this, you can let the people who actually know be the ones who manage the access rather than them having to email or telephone other folks who then go and do mysterious things and application-specific interfaces to make that access happen. And finally, it's an element of a strategy, I should say, that the end point of which, or in the direction of enterprises having an asset of who all can do what. So you don't get there quickly, but to have the more you can use a service like that, an enterprise service in common across applications, the better the answers you can get out of that system about who all can do what. And that's a valuable information asset to have.
Tell us about some of the components within Grouper and how organizations are typically using them.
So some of the components include ways to get the people and other things into groups that you want to manage to integrate with your identity management system, not to require you to reflect and replicate all of your identity subjects into Grouper. It doesn't have to do that. Likewise, it's got an LDAP provisioning connector to reflect group memberships as you may want them back into an LDAP directory or an active directory. That's often the first application that people want to use this for. It has web services interfaces, both SOAP and RESTful web services interfaces, as well as lightweight ones and heavyweight ones that are great for integrating directly in applications. It has a user interface for administering the Grouper system. Also has a loader for maintaining group memberships and whole systems of groups dynamically based upon data you have in your back-end databases. And a shell interface, a full shell that completely exposes all of the methods in the native Java API for command line management and XML import and export. So it's got a lot of stuff. Oh, and I guess I'm missing even one more component. There's even a Grouper client component that's really meant to help integrate Grouper groups with legacy applications that can't do anything special. So what you can do is you can stick this thing basically in their cron and fire it up, and it can pull stuff out of groups, and then they're available for your shell script to parse up and stick into a legacy application in whatever way it's necessary for it. So that's kind of what all Grouper is now and the kinds of things Grouper can do in terms of its technical capabilities.
Tom, that's been a great overview of Grouper. Now bring us up to date on some of the new features in Grouper 1.5.
Sure. First of all, let's see, hang on a second. I'm queuing them up for myself. I have to remember what they all are. There's a lot of them.
Well, what are some of the ones you're most excited about, Tom?
Yeah, I'm excited about them all, Emily, of course. The first one, the most notable one probably is there's a new light user interface that's in there. It's not a comprehensive interface, nor should it be. Basically, the idea is that for tasks that end users frequently need to do in terms of that touch groups, there's a new set of Ajax-based widgets that come now with Grouper 1.5 that make those ordinary people ought to be more successful with. And so there's actually a light user interface that's bundled in with the Grouper user interface, and also the administrative user interface that's still there makes use of some of the lighter weight widgetry in appropriate places. So that's the first time that the package itself will deliver end user interface componentry.
Seems to be a lot of excitement about that in the user community.
There's an interesting story, not because we haven't gotten to it. That's not really the story. It's because we've provided support for that. That is, the web services interfaces were the major response to that need. And the reason is that most often end users don't want to go to some place outside of their application context to manage something about that application. And really what needs to happen is that the group management capabilities or the access management capabilities needed in that application context ought to be presented there, okay, and not send users off to a separate user interface. So that's often the case, and so the best way of dealing with that was to provide connection in any kind of application development environment back to Grouper services, and that's what the web services interfaces accomplish and have done so successfully. A number of campuses have implemented their own specialized user interfaces that act on with Grouper behind them using the web services. So that's been a successful strategy. But even so, it's a good idea to capture some of those efforts and put them in the toolkit, and the Lite UI is one such example. There's been a substantial improvement in performance in Grouper with 1.5. That issue was at sites that have very large deployments, we're seeing some problems when they had like a group of administrators that needed to have, they had privileges over vast numbers of groups. So whenever they wanted to add someone into that administrator group or take someone out, it took a while because it had to basically make all the indirect privilege operations to all the groups those administrators could touch. So we've changed things rather fundamentally so that write performance of Grouper is vastly improved. We have like order of 1,000 improvement in some of those operations when there were large Grouper databases. So that's great. We're really happy about that. We also have audit in Grouper for the first time. It's been requested since the beginning, basically. Folks really felt they couldn't take access, a centralized enterprise access management, seriously enough if it failed to have appropriate audit capabilities. So they could backtrack and see, well, how did someone get their privilege? You know, who did what to cause that to happen? So that's in there now. There's also the ability to move and copy groups and folders containing groups around in your hierarchy of groups and folders. So that just reflects the fact that organizations or organizational structures, you know, change over time, and this gives some good support for that. There's also on the provisioning front, a real-time notification out of Grouper in 1.5 for the first time. So up to today, to push out into stuff to LDAP or to legacy clients, you had to poll on an interval, most often hourly or half-hourly or something like that, but there was a delay. Someone would, in a user interface, make a change to some access permission, and they expect to see the change in their application like right away. So that hasn't been possible until now. So, and the notification that's there is, I'll say it's the infrastructure for it. It doesn't solve the problem end-to-end itself. It enables that problem to be solved. That is, the Grouper backend will now emit the notifications. In the next point release, the Grouper's LDAP provisioning connector that comes as part of the toolkit will be able to take advantage of that. And so we will, at 1.5.1, for the first time, sort of have an end-to-end solution to that problem, at least for LDAP and Active Directory.
So that's coming in Grouper 1.5.1 then?
That's on the near-term horizon, is to take that new capability that we have for notifications and hook it up to the LDAP provisioning connector component.
And what about the attribute framework?
There has been sort of an ad hoc custom attribute facility in Grouper. That is, deployers could add certain kinds of basically just string attributes to Grouper groups for their own purposes, and that was very useful. But we found that we were hampered. We really wanted to be able to do a lot more things to annotate groups as well as memberships and folders and other primary objects that Grouper manages. So, for example, you might want to put on a membership something about the nature of that particular person's membership in the group, like when they started, when their membership should end, or some kind of a qualifier about their membership, it's why they have membership there, or what have you. So, and we also wanted people to be able to have multi-valued attributes, or that we have many requests for that, or other types of value types besides simple strings that we supported before. So all that's possible now with the attribute framework in Grouper. addresses all those needs. So you can basically stick a custom attribute onto any group, folder, membership, or another custom attribute, frankly, so that you don't you can even extend the metadata on attributes in our attribute framework. So that's we're already starting to make use of that framework for further enhancements to the toolkit itself, not just leaving that for deployers to take advantage of. So it's good for both of us. That the attribute framework, I should say, is it's an initial implementation. There's more in our roadmap to do, more functional enhancements that we have planned for the attribute framework, most notably having some better interfaces to that those set of capabilities exposed. Right now, that's only through the Java API and through the grouper shell, the command shell that exposes all of the Java API to command line operation as well. There is no attribute framework capability yet in the web services interfaces or in a user interface, but those are planned for an upcoming release.
And were there particular user needs that drove the development of the new attribute framework?
Yeah, there were probably three most common ones. One is people wanted to have membership end dates, okay? And so we didn't have a good way of supporting that need, and so that'll be a great and easy application of the attribute framework. A second one is that people often wanted to have multi-valued attributes attached to their groups, and that wasn't possible before. So they started doing strange things to kind of multiplex a bunch of independent values into a string. The third one really had to do with our own purposes. Has to do with permission and role management. And we knew we needed a lot of facilities, a lot of capabilities in terms of attributes on a variety of things in Grouper in order to implement, to leverage those to produce some role and permission management capabilities. And in fact, that's the last main area of functional enhancement with Grouper 1.5 is the introduction of a set of role and permission management capabilities in Grouper. Like the attribute framework, it's incomplete, and it's not exposed to all of Grouper's typical interfaces. It's only available right now to Java developers. But there is one use case, one campus that is making use of it that drove the design and development of that. That's University of Pennsylvania. And we're hoping in the coming months to partner with some campuses to have them begin to use or at least experiment with these capabilities and help guide us by their needs with how we should finish them off, basically.
Tom, for those institutions that are interested in getting started with Grouper version 1.5, what's the best way for them to download it and to get support?
Well, they can go to the Grouper website, and that's www.netu.edu/grouper. And the software is found right from there. And there's a wiki also off of there. And the wiki has loads of the wiki pages documenting various aspects of the Grouper toolkit. So that's getting hold of stuff, and that's the manual to read. There is a Grouper users email list to subscribe to, which would be a really good idea. And there's instructions on the webpage, I believe it is, for getting to that wiki. And if you're very adventurous and really are community-spirited, you should join the Grouper Developments Group, too, and work with us to help, make this better for everybody.
And what's the best way for campuses to provide feedback to the development group?
Well, generally it's on the Grouper users mail list. It's a great way. That's probably the best way. That way everyone can see, and all the developers are there and respond quickly, I think. There's a pretty vibrant community there.
Thanks very much, Tom. It's been good talking with you today.
Nice talking with you too, Emily.